This call is being recorded.
There we go, right on cue. Well, today we're going to be talking about the 2018 midterm election results and how these results impact our advocacy for children around the world. We'll highlight the advocacy successes and the challenges from the past 2 years. We'll give you a sneak peek at what's ahead for 2019, and we'll end with two simple things that you can do to influence your leaders on behalf of children around the world before the year ends. Unfortunately, in this call, we're not going to have time for question and answer, but in our follow-up email, we encourage you to send us questions if you have anything that is remaining after the call, and we'll make sure we get back to you. Today on the call, I'm really excited to welcome two of our experts from the World Vision Advocacy team. We have our Director of Mobilization, Steve Reynolds, who hails from the Seattle area of Washington, and we have our Director of Government Relations, Lisa Boss, who lives in Washington, D.C., but she's actually in Rwanda right now traveling for work. Thank you both for joining us. Well, let's get started by looking at last week's midterm elections. Lisa, can you give us a recap of what happened and how that might impact World Vision's advocacy priorities?
Absolutely, Cassie. Sorry, had to get myself off of mute there for a second.
No problem.
So first of all, thanks everybody for joining us. Really excited to share with you kind of our take on what happened last week. I think one of the biggest takeaways from the midterm election is that there were a lot of members of Congress who chose to retire and not run for re-election this year. So there was a lot of change, and there are a lot of new members of Congress this year. And that requires a lot of us in terms of advocacy, because a lot of these members are going to come into Congress without a lot of perspective and understanding of some of the issues that we advocate on. So an exciting time where there are some new opportunities with some new congressional offices, but also potentially some challenges there as well. So just to recap a few of the numbers, and I'm sure if you've been following the news, there are still some results of the election that are outstanding. But as you probably know, the Democrats are now in the majority in the House of Representatives. So when the new Congress convenes next January, they will be the committee chairs and the Speaker of the House and in the leadership roles in the House. Republicans are still in control and in the majority in the Senate. But as I mentioned, 1 in 5 members of Congress are going to be new when the new Congress convenes next year. So a lot of education, a lot of understanding will need to grow. And we look forward to working with you all as advocates on helping us do that. But we also, unfortunately, some of those retirements that I had mentioned were some people who really understood and really championed our issues in the Congress. So we're always sad to say goodbye to folks that we worked with very closely and to people who really were partners with us on some of our advocacy work. So we do hope in the new Congress there are some new members who will be willing to take up that mantle. And in terms of what this might mean for World Vision, sort of this new landscape of really what we might refer to as a divided government, you know, we've always tried to focus as World Vision on legislation that's bipartisan. So while there might be potential for an increased gridlock in the new Congress, we do hope that there will be opportunities for bipartisan legislation to move forward. We do see this as being important with Democrats in the majority in the House and Republicans in the majority in the Senate, that there will likely be some gridlock unless bills are bipartisan and can move to the president to be signed. We do have some really good leadership in some of the key committees as we look to next Congress. While we've lost some of the senior Republicans in the House of Representatives on the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Democrats who will be coming into that committee and to the Appropriations Committee as chairs have really been strong partners with us on many of the issues that we care about and that you care about as well. We'll have a new chair in the Senate of the Foreign Relations Committee, where a lot of our bills go through that committee and are considered in that committee. It's Senator Jim Risch from Idaho. He's someone we're not overly familiar with, but have begun conversations with, sort of anticipating that he would ascend to this new role. So some opportunities with him as well. He'll come in with a new agenda, with a clean slate, and we're really hopeful there'll be some wonderful opportunities for us to work with him in the new Congress.
Awesome. Thanks, Lisa. I mean, the biggest takeaway from all of that is just that we will continue to be advocating for children. I love that we're going to be continuing to work on bipartisan legislation, that no matter who is in control, we're going to be speaking to them. Now I want to pivot a little bit to look at the past 2 years. So many of you on this call have been advocating with us for a while and have written an email or picked up the phone or even met in person with your member of Congress. Steve, could you give us a bit of an overview of how World Vision advocates across the U.S. have engaged Congress over the past 2 years, and just a little bit about how that's a part of World Vision's mission?
Absolutely. Thanks, Cassie. And hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on the call. You know, World Vision, we work in nearly 100 countries around the world to address the root causes of poverty and injustice. And, you know, we don't just treat the symptoms of poverty, we really go after those root causes, right? And so what advocacy to the U.S. government allows us to do is it allows World Vision to scale the work that we would already do anyway, but bring it to many, many millions more children because of our partnership with the U.S. government. It accelerates our goal of ending extreme poverty. And I can tell you, I've been with World Vision a long time, and this is the first time in my career that we've ever talked about actually ending poverty. We've talked about fighting poverty. We've talked about alleviating poverty. But these days, we're really talking about ending extreme poverty. And as all of you know, one organization can't do that. It requires the involvement of governments to actually achieve a goal like that. Now, our mission and advocacy is to advocate for health, safety, and opportunity for every child. And in the past couple of years, we've made tremendous progress on this. It looks like I can't go over all of the pieces of legislation that we've been a part of, but it's quite a list. And I can tell you this, that This legislation has covered everything from ending preventable deaths for moms and kids, moms and babies. We've addressed preventing human trafficking. We've addressed preventing child labor. We've continued critical food assistance in droughts and famines that have occurred. And we promoted access to education for refugees, especially girls in those situations. Now, you asked about how World Vision advocates have been engaging Congress in the past 2 years, and it's been really, really impressive. I've been so excited about how our advocates have stepped up. Over the past 2 years, over 67,000 individuals have contacted their member of Congress on one of these issues, resulting in a third of a billion emails, over 330,000 emails, or a third of a million, I should say, and 900 calls to members of Congress. So 330,000 emails, 900 calls, and almost, in addition to that, almost 100 advocates have taken that extra step to meet in person with their member of Congress. That's a hard thing to do. It's a scary thing to do, but over 100 people have done that. Overall, advocates have contacted every single member of Congress at least once about these issues. And for that, I just say thank you and well done.
Wow, every single member of Congress. That's an incredible reach. Well, Steve, I want to ask you about one specific issue that has demanded a lot of our attention in the past 2 years, and this is the budget for U.S. foreign assistance. Could you tell us a little bit about how advocates spoke up to protect funding for this poverty-focused development?
Absolutely. Yes, this came up suddenly this year, and we had to really act quickly to avoid this what's called a rescission, which is a process that the administration can do to actually cut funding just in and of itself or prevent funding from being allocated. Now then, what happened was, as you probably know, U.S. poverty-focused U.S. foreign assistance accounts for only 1% of the federal budget. It's a very small slice of the pie. But even with this small slice, it allows the U.S. to work through trusted partners like World Vision to implement all these programs to increase literacy rates, provide immunizations, drugs, and so forth. Well, not only that, but World Vision is actually the eighth largest implementing partner of the U.S. Agency for International Development. We're a big partner with the U.S. government. We extend their reach. They don't just extend our reach, we extend their reach, right? But at the beginning of the 115th Congress, in 2017, the administration proposed a budget for U.S. foreign assistance that cut over 30% of the budget for foreign assistance. That would have had a devastating impact on our programs worldwide. We were surprised by that because foreign assistance has always been a strong bipartisan issue. Members on both sides of the aisle have always, for the most part, supported that 1% that we talked about. So, in response to that, our advocates really came through. So we worked all over the country, and we got advocates, and they spoke out in support of this funding. Wasn't easy to do, but we explained the reasoning behind it. And what ended up happening was 55,000 advocates emailed and called their members of Congress about the budget itself. And over the 2 years, we generated about 282,000 emails and over 500 calls for that issue. And guess what? Congress listened. They solidified their bipartisan support for foreign assistance. Congress kind of got together, they banded together, and they said, we are going to save this foreign assistance. We even heard words of support from members of Congress who had never spoken out before. It was really encouraging to see Congress stand up to this cut that was proposed by the administration.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. I remember a particular testimony by a congressman from Florida who talked about how he came to Congress. He actually campaigned on cutting foreign assistance. But after his 4 years of service in the U.S. Congress, he kind of said he became learned, and he started using our talking points about how American leadership in the world is needed now more than ever. So we clearly have champions in Congress for this life-saving work, similarly to what Lisa was saying earlier. But we have continued to see these threats. And Steve, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about what you mentioned earlier about rescission, this budget tactic you were referencing, and that recent threat to our funding.
Exactly, Cassie. And again, to your point about creating champions in Congress, it's so cool to see members of Congress raise their awareness about these issues that they've never spoken out on before, and suddenly become a champion for it. And it's only because of the work of our advocates that is possible. They won't listen to me, they won't listen to World Vision, but they'll listen to their constituents on these issues. And it's so heartening to see that happen. But yes, as I mentioned before, there was a specific incident this year that happened where the White House was trying to actually cut the budget through another process, a more obscure process. And basically, at the end of August, we heard that this was happening, was considering a budget tactic called rescissions. Basically, what that would do would freeze money that had already been approved for these life-saving programs, right? So what happened was World Vision advocates got active and sent more than 1,400 emails, made more than 125 calls to Congress all within a week, and asking Congress to speak out against this budget tactic, right? So push back on the administration. We sent messages to over 61% of House offices and 88% of the Senate in less than 72 hours. And guess what? It worked. The administration withdrew the rescission package, and it was no longer on the table for consideration. We faced the real possibility there in that moment of losing about $1 billion that would have helped feed hungry people, work to create opportunities, prevent the loss of life globally. And guess what? Our advocates prevented that from happening. But, you know, we know the fight is not over. We expect to face ongoing challenges, let's say, to foreign assistance. So that's why we really need every single voice. I'm so appreciative of everybody on the call. Whether you've taken an action with us or whether you're going to in the future, I just want to say thank you so much. If you were one of the 55,000 advocates who spoke up on behalf of this funding over the past 2 years, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for taking the time to make a call, to write an email, to meet with your member of Congress. This act that you did really does help relieve suffering around the world, bring restoration to the brokenness of the world. Our collective advocacy, as I said before, nobody can do this alone. We have to do it together. We continue this life-saving work of U.S. foreign assistance. It's been a success story, and we look forward with anticipation to the future. So thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I definitely want to echo that thanks to our advocates. And we definitely have something to celebrate with that budget advocacy. But I want to pivot a little bit to how advocates have spoken up to Congress about legislation that not only talking about asking for that budget, but also improving how the U.S. government invests those funds through global development programs. And some of our legislation have been successful, and quite frankly, some of our efforts have been long and challenging. Not every bill we advocate for passes and becomes law. So, Lisa, could you share a little bit about one of those bills that has been maybe more of a challenge?
Absolutely, Cassie. And I know some of you on the call today are longtime advocates and know how often we have to kind of go back and do bills year after year and Congress after Congress. And you may know that when a Congress ends and a bill hasn't been finished, it has to be reintroduced the next Congress. So every 2 years, if we don't get bills done and passed through the House and Senate and signed by the president that we're working on, we get to start all over again anew in the new year, which can be a bit challenging. And one of those bills where we've unfortunately had that kind of struggle, I guess I would say, is the Reach Every Mother and Child Act over the last few years. And that really has been a great piece of legislation that we've worked on with quite a few other partner organizations. It's a bill that World Vision actually helped write and develop. And really it's focused on how do we accelerate progress to end preventable maternal and child deaths. As Steve mentioned, you know, for the first time, we're sort of talking about ending things, not just reducing, ending poverty, ending preventable child and maternal deaths. And this legislation was really supposed to try to catalyze U.S. leadership and make sure we were spending our funds through foreign assistance on the most effective and the most impactful interventions. But unfortunately, you know, while we've been working on this bill for 4 years and have had a lot of bipartisan support in the Congress, it's been a challenge to get the bill across the finish line and even to get it to a point where it would be considered for a hearing. And I think sometimes the struggle with issues like maternal and child health is everybody views those issues as very popular and they support them. And they view it as non-controversial. So sometimes it almost causes them not to take action on it. And I know that sounds strange, but sometimes when there's not really a firm problem that people see or really understand, it might be hard for them to see or to make the time and the space to actually move legislation on the issue. So thankfully, even though the Reach Every Mother and Child Act itself hasn't moved through the Congress, we've moved a lot of the provisions of the legislation a bit creatively through the appropriations process, and we've advocated with the administration to continue the work that's being done through these maternal and child health programs, and actually have gotten the administration without the legislation to take some actions to move this agenda forward. So it's one of those situations where we'd love to have the bill, but we've actually been able to see progress without the legislation itself actually moving forward. So we're not really sure for that bill what will happen next Congress. Our Republican champion in the House, Dave Reichert from Washington State, is retiring, I should say, because he'll still be around for a little bit in the lame duck session. But we'll be looking to see if there are other opportunities, maybe not to move the REACH Act, but is there another initiative around maternal and child health that could really excite some of the new members of Congress? A lot of them, as you might know, are women. A lot of them are under 40 and you know, might be mothers themselves. So really hoping that there might be an opportunity to see if it's not the REACH Act that we advocate on in the new Congress, is there something else kind of exciting and really innovative that we can try to gain some support and some champions around as we look into 2019?
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, I think it's just so interesting and important for advocates to know, just to see the behind the scenes of how we can still get things done, even if that bill doesn't cross that finish line. But it is always a little disappointing to hear that. So let's talk a little bit about our efforts that have been successful. How have we impacted the way that the U.S. government invests funds through our faithful advocacy?
Well, as Steve mentioned, we've had quite a few successes over the past few years. One that we've had very, very recently, and hopefully some of you had the opportunity to advocate on, is the Global Food Security Reauthorization Act. And this was signed by the president on October 11 of this year, so a little over a month ago. And what this bill does is it authorizes a U.S. program called Feed the Future. And Feed the Future is a really exciting initiative of the U.S. government that's really focused on a few select countries, 12 countries in specifically, and really getting them to strengthen their food and their agriculture systems. So it's really looking at not necessarily what we might think of as farmers here in the U.S., the really big kind of agriculture kind of farms, large scale. These are really often small scale farmers that World Vision also works with, that it's really looking at through this program, how to support them, have them grow crops that they might be able to bring to market, help them have a livelihood for their household, to help support getting their kids to school, buying nutritious food for their family. So it's really been successful, this program. Since it began in 2011, 9 million more people are living above the poverty line, and 1.8 million more children are free from stunting, which is caused by malnutrition. So these are kids that are healthier, who, you know, just have greater opportunity to be successful as they continue to grow throughout their lifetime. So we're really excited that this legislation that was signed by the president a month ago allows this program to continue for 5 more years. So that's one bill that we actually got passed and really pushed forward this year. But another law that we've been working on for a really, really long time and we've hit a pretty significant milestone on is PEPFAR. And some of you may be familiar with PEPFAR. It's the big U.S. government program focused on the HIV and AIDS crisis. It began in 2003. And like the Global Food Security Reauthorization Act, it's a program that Congress needs to come back every 5 years and say, and pass legislation and say, we authorize or allow these programs to continue and for the agencies that oversee these programs to continue spending money and to continue implementing the programs. So this year was a year that we needed to do that as well with PEPFAR. And we're about halfway through the process now with this legislation. The House passed their version of the bill. I think it was just on Tuesday. And the Senate will need to act. Now, as I noted, if this does not get done before Congress goes out in the lame duck session that's coming up, we have to start over next Congress. So we're halfway through the process. We're hoping the Senate in the next couple of weeks will move forward, because as I think many of you know, HIV/AIDS has really had a tremendous impact, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, and these programs are tremendously important in ensuring that vulnerable children are on treatment, that they're getting services if their parents are sick, and that adults, moms, dads, and other caregivers are getting the support that they need as well if they're sick or if they're in communities that really have been impacted by HIV and AIDS.
Awesome. Well, that's a really great segue to looking ahead to 2019. Lisa, as we prepare for the beginning of the 116th Congress, what are World Vision's goals? I know things are going to be changing in the next few months, but where do you think advocates' voices will be needed?
I think we're going to need our advocates in a lot of ways. I wish we could say we're letting you all off of the hook in a new Congress, but I'm excited to say we're still going to need your voices, and hopefully on some really exciting issues. But, you know, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, you know, we do have a lame duck session of Congress that is happening as we speak. And we have to finalize the appropriations process and the budget for fiscal year 2019. So we do hope that there'll be a good final push to get that finished. The foreign assistance programs that we advocate on are a part of what has not been finished up yet. And so we're really hopeful that Congress will come together in a bipartisan way and figure out how to finish the final seven appropriations bills that haven't been completed yet. But as we look forward to FY20, I think we've noted a few times how many new members there are and the need to do a lot of education. You might not be surprised to know that most members of Congress do not run on issues of foreign assistance and global poverty. So a lot of members who are new freshman members, haven't really looked at these issues very closely, have not talked about them on the campaign trail, have probably not been asked questions in, you know, campaign meetings or town halls or different things that they've done as part of their process of running for office. So we really have to hit the ground running in January with a lot of our partners and get into quite a few of these offices and just start talking to them about these programs, their impact, what's happening around the world, whether it's some of the refugee crises, food insecurity that's occurring in different places, but just even educating them on the longstanding U.S. role around the world as really a global leader and a global champion for life-saving assistance and for programs that really support opportunity for children and for families around the world. So we do see a few bills that we will come back and do next year that we've been working on this year. We don't anticipate that these are things that will get done in the lame duck. So things like we have a resolution around ending violence against children that we've been working on that we'll work on in the new Congress as well. The International Violence Against Women Act. We've been working on a Global Fragility and Violence Reduction Act, really a bill focused on how do we get to some of those root causes of violence and instability around the world. And then there's also a possibility that some women's economic empowerment legislation that we've been working on, we may have to come back and do next year. Trafficking Victims Protection Act, it's possible it may not get finished this year, but we're hopeful it will. And then the Farm Bill is another one that we're still hoping to push across the finish line, but may have to come back next year as well and do some work on. So some really good opportunities. We hope in the lame duck to try to push a few of these things, but also several bills that we know and hope that you'll advocate on with us again next year.
Awesome. Yeah, so as Lisa mentioned, we will keep you in the loop. We will let you know when we have new legislation that is introduced, and you can stay updated by joining us on our website, worldvisionadvocacy.org, and you click the drop down that says Join Us. So before we end this call, I just want to share two things that you can do in the next few days to help us finish out the 115th Congress strong. The first thing is to make a phone call for the PEPFAR Extension Act. Just like Lisa was mentioning, this act will reauthorize PEPFAR, a program that prevents and protects people and lots of vulnerable children, especially orphans, from HIV/AIDS. And just as Lisa said, we have to restart legislation every Congress, so we really want to get this over the finish line. We're halfway there, and we just need it to get to the Senate floor. So even though the midterms have just happened, all of the members of the 115th Congress will come back to D.C. for November and December to finish their term, and we want them to prioritize PEPFAR in addition to some of that funding that they need to do before their deadline. So we make it really easy in the follow-up email that we'll send you. You'll see a link to a page where you can fill in just some basic information about yourself, and it will pull up your members of Congress. And you have the option from there to either dial their phone number yourself, or you can actually click a button where it will call your phone and patch you through to the office. It's a really cool function, so you don't have to do that much. And you'll see a quick script come up underneath where when the young staffer answers the phone, you'll give your name, your address, and some quick facts about PEPFAR and just ask them to prioritize it. That's about it. It's pretty easy to do. The second thing you can do is send your member of Congress a greeting card. The most impactful way you can advocate for children around the world is to develop a relationship with your members of Congress. That way, when you speak up, the office recognizes who you are, and they'll take your requests into higher esteem. And I just want to say that this is something that makes World Vision advocacy unique. When we look at politicians, we see them as partners, not as targets. We recognize they have a difficult job. I mean, a lot of them just finished a tough re-election race, and whether or not you voted for them or whether or not they were re-elected, we just want them to know that we see them first and foremost as children of God. So we have a World Vision branded card that you can download. Just add a personal note about how you're praying for them, maybe add a scripture that is on your heart for them, and just thank them for their service to you and to our country. You'll find all of these instructions in that email we send you tomorrow. Well, in closing, I just want to say thank you so much to our speakers for sharing their expertise, for getting us excited, and thank you all advocates, for joining us today. I don't know about you, but I am feeling excited about what we can accomplish in the next year, about what we have accomplished as well, just feeling that sense. And I just want to say thank you to God and to you. So will you all join me in prayer just to close this out? Gracious God, we just come before you grateful and humbled, God, humbled by all we've accomplished in the past few years, by all of the advocates who have spoken up and used their voice on behalf of people experiencing poverty, and all of the members of Congress who have made the choice to make compassionate decisions on behalf of those people. We just see how you've moved in our hearts and minds, and we thank you for that. God, as we look toward the year ahead, at this potential divided government, at all of these new members of Congress who are joining us, we just pray for that spirit of listening and unity and understanding that we invite you into the political process to move within that, to speak clearly to our leaders and to us as advocates through all of that political noise. We confess that sometimes we don't know what to say, what words will have the most influence. We don't know what we're supposed to do, but we just take comfort in knowing that you are God above it all. In your holy and gracious name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us. Really enjoyed our chat today, and we hope you have a really great rest of your day.